Anya Tyrell is an Irish-born Australian singer-songwriter that sings about her battles in life. From domestic violence to drug addiction, Anya's songs are honest and raw. With the release of her fledgling fall EP and her upcoming show in Adelaide tonight, we've asked her to join us this morning to tell us all about it. Good morning, Anya.
Good morning.
So tell us, how did you get into music in the first place?
My dad's a folk singer in Ireland, so we always had musicians around the house. It was just pretty, it was pretty normal. It was what was going on all the time. And, you know, Ireland is also, live music is such a part of life. So it's around you a lot, yeah.
It's been said that your music is not strictly Irish, nor strictly Australian. Where would you put it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was home recently for 3 months, and it was really interesting going back to play over there after so many years over here. And I really respect the tradition that I've come from, because, like, tradition, it's just beautiful to have all that melody and bank of knowledge that I grew up with. But I think being in Australia has helped me be able to kind of push the boundaries of that tradition, because it's a little bit stifling and prescriptive if you're in it all the time, if you know what I mean. So kind of being this far away from it has been like, well, I can play with it. I can push it here. I can push it there. I can, you know, add in the sounds and the feelings of where I am here now. So it's been really interesting musical creative adventure, I suppose, which I never really thought about as much as I did when I landed back home in Ireland. It came really apparent, sort of, that it's a little bit outside the box, really.
What sort of influences have you picked up from Australia?
I think I'm always very affected by where I am, the landscape, the land around me, the ocean, the mountains, everything. And Australia is so vast and so very different to Irish landscape. You know, my first album we recorded out in the desert, and it was just an incredible experience to be out there and be soaking in that was around me, because that's nothing that I'm familiar to. We don't do deserts in Ireland.
How do you cope with the heat out there as well?
I'm not great. I'm not really great with the heat. So I can do like the 30s, but once it gets anywhere past that, I'm like, this is not fit for humans.
So we probably won't see you performing in Roxby Downs anytime soon. We heard that your EP Fledgling Fall achieved number one on the Irish national broadcaster RTE. Congratulations. Can you tell us how that felt for you?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, because I haven't released, even my first album, I never released it in Ireland, because I was over here working and touring and doing my thing here. And so to go back and have them even interested in interviewing me and playing the music and everything, it's the radio station I grew up listening to, and it's such a great supporter of independent and Irish music. And to have them really see value in what I was doing is lovely. I mean, you don't make music for the accolades, but it's beautiful when someone wants to keep playing your music. I mean, that's just why you make it, so they keep playing it, and just all those plays added up to a number one, which was just mind-blowing, really.
As we mentioned, a lot of your songs have a sort of raw and personal feel to them, and if you don't mind us asking, can you tell us about how addiction has sort of affected your life and how it led to one of your tracks, Don't Be Left Crying?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've had a lot of family members, friends, and lovers in the past that have all been stuck with the, I don't know, with the or held captive by that of addiction, whether there's all various addictions in life. And I've lost a few very close family members and friends from it. And so to me, the song, you know, as it started off as a personal experience, and then it kind of became a lot more of a broader feeling, you know, the lyric in it just became like it could speak to anyone that's lost anyone close to do with addiction. And so when we created the video for it, I think that's the that's the ethos that we went into it with. The vision was that we just wanted to talk about that broad feeling of what could have or should have been, which is the lyric from the song. You know, if that thing hadn't caught hold of whoever you're loving, you know.
So you've told us a bit about that track, and we've got another one of your tracks coming up soon, Burning Up Those Notes. Can you tell us a bit about that one?
That one actually, both of those tracks actually were originally finished on the EP, but I kept thinking they just didn't sound finished to me. And so I had a phone a friend moment, and I just was very lucky that my friend happened to be Glenn Hansard, an amazing singer-songwriter from Ireland. And with both of those tracks, he kind of helped me push it out into a broader, to look at it from a bigger perspective, I think. And Burn Up Those Notes, it had started off, you know, more of a song about, you know, not being, trapped in that trap about money where you're always thinking, you know, the grass is always greener, or there's something more, or there's something better, kind of, you know, taking yourself away from that relationship, I suppose. And and then in a conversation with him, he actually sent me this amazing article about Mexico City and how at the moment it's actually sinking every year they've learned. And I think it became more of a the effects of greed and money and I suppose the environment that we're living in and how precious it is and how just what's going on in the world constantly. We have so many people that are trying to do well, you know, and do the right thing and, you know, try to do their bit to make this planet a safe place for us all to live in. But yeah, I suppose the song had a bigger focus in that, you know, to, I suppose, stop being so withholden to that greed and money machine that we don't even know sometimes that we're partaking in, you know.
So we can catch you tonight on Adelaide stage at the Wheat Sheaf Hotel. What are some of your other stops on your national tour?
I've just done most of the East Coast, so Sydney, Canberra, Mullumbimby, Brisbane. I'll be back around this area again for the Mullum Music Festival after that. But straight after Adelaide, I head to Victoria for Castlemaine and Melbourne, and then down to Tasmania for 4 days, which I'm looking forward to. But I do love Adelaide, and I love the Wheat Sheaf. The last time I was there was for the Fringe Festival in the Spiegel tent, so it was just magic. It was the first time I've been in Adelaide in that time of year, so it's just amazing how Adelaide turns it on, isn't it?
We're just about out of time. Before we wrap things up, is there anything you'd like to say to other budding young musicians?
Yes. I had great advice along the way, which is one that I always come back to, and it's just hang on for good news. You know, there are some days where you think, why am I doing this? What am I doing this for? You know, and then you just got to hang on, because then those little beautiful nuggets of gold come to you, you know, whatever that is, in the form of a song or in a, you know, collaboration with someone, or some festival asks you to play, or, you know, and you just got to hang, because it's a tough road. It's not an easy one. It's a big roller coaster. You've got to hang on for those bits of good news.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Anya.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Singer-songwriter Anya Tyrell speaking to us about her life, a new EP and Australian tour. You can catch Anya 7 p.m. tonight at the Wheat Sheaf Hotel.